Well, as you know, we've been having different ones come up and talk with you a little bit about some of their experiences in different areas as far as testimonials and discipleship the teaching and as far as evangelism. And so today I wanted to invite up me. Because I had a really cool incident occur on Thursday. And some of you know that I am not an evangelist as the way you think of evangelist. I'm not going to be a Josh. I'm not going to be like my wife. I'm not going to be like people who do a wonderful job of just sharing Christ everywhere they go. And, you know, and being able to spot the people and just talking, that's just not me. I know it might surprise you with my effervescent personality, but... But this Thursday, I was off in a part of town that I was really unfamiliar with. I'd gone on a task, and it was over off of Blanding, for those of you who know anything about Blanding. And I was in our Sequoia, Marlene, and I was driving along, and when I got off on Blanding, I went up about maybe 2 miles or so through all of the car dealerships there. And when I got by there, I turned right, going back to where I was going. And I looked down, and the temperature gauge on the truck was pegged. It was hot plus. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, this thing didn't freeze on the highway. You know, it didn't seize. So I stopped, whipped around real quick, and I stopped because I didn't know where I was. And I thought, okay, I'm going to see if this thing will cool down real quick. Well, it didn't. So I needed to get it fixed, and I went back over to Blanding, and to the left was every car dealership in North America, each one of them having mechanics. But something told me turn right, and so I did. And I went up about 100 feet, and on the right-hand side looked like a Gomer Pyle-type gas station. No cars out in front of it. The bays were empty. The door had a paper over it, and so I thought this place probably closed. I get out of the truck, I go to open the door, and I thought it's going to be locked. I open it, and it opens, and I thought, wow. And so I go in, and there's a young man in there sitting at the desk, and I said, I got a problem with my truck. Can you take a look at it? What's the problem? I said, it's heating up. He said, let's take a look at it. So he goes out, pulls an old shade tree mechanic, and he goes, this is the problem. And I said, okay, well, can you fix it? Sure, I can. So he calls. It's going to be this was happening about 9:30. He says it's going to be noon before I can get the part. So he calls, and we sat down and started to talk. And as we talked, I discovered a little bit about him. And the more we talked, he said, I asked him how long he'd been doing what he's doing. I'd seen a bumper sticker on a truck out in the parking lot that said, I'm broke, my horse ate my paycheck. And so I started talking with him, and come to find out that he's got a breed of horse that my great uncle used to raise. And so we had all this stuff in common. He had just gotten into the cattle business. And so we started talking, and he said, what do you do? And I told him. And he said, well, you know, to be honest with you, I grew up in church, but I've fallen away from the church. And he said, I'm just kind of starting to go back. And I said, well, where'd you go to church? And he said, well, I started off in the Methodist church, and I went to the Southern Baptist, and then went to non-denominational, and then I just fell away. And he said, but recently I felt like the Lord's tugging my heart to get back into church. And I said, I applaud you for that. I said, I have a younger son who's kind of gone through that, and that just trying to figure out for himself where he is in the relationship with the Lord. And I said, you know, I'm proud of you for doing that, because I said a lot of kids grow up in church and they go to church because they have to go to church. And then they learn all the logo and the lingo, and they learn how to look like a Christian, but they're not. And I said, so they grow up later, and as they grow, they realize they really don't have any kind of a relationship with the Lord at all. And I said, so I applaud you in what it is that you're doing. And he said, yeah, he said, I've just really felt like I needed to get back in and really dig into the Word. So I found a new church that I'm going to. And so we sat and talked a while about faith and about what a Christian is, what a Christian is not. I told him, I said, you know what, if you're like me, when I grew up, I asked my mom when I was a little kid, I said, Mom, are we Christians? Yeah, we're Christians. I said, what kind are we? She said, Protestants. I said, okay. And that's all I needed. I went down the road and for years and years thought I was Christian because I was told I was and my parents were. And I told him, I said, you can't borrow your parents' faith. And I said, just a few years ago, I discovered not only was I not a Christian, but my mom wasn't a Christian, the one who had told me all of this stuff. So I'm going, I'm listening to the wrong people. And I said, it wasn't until I started looking and desiring to have a relationship with the Lord myself that things began to get clear. And he just nodded his head. I said, what's your favorite book in the Bible? He said, Proverbs. So I go, why? And he says, well, because there's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. I said, well, that's probably why they call it the Book of Wisdom. And he said, yeah. He goes, I really like it. So it told me that he had been in Scripture. He wasn't just talking. He knew the book. He knew why he liked it. But the conversation was just a phenomenal conversation. And he said that he was dating a gal, and he's trying to get her encouraged to start going to church as well, and has her reading different Bible passages. And so it was just what it did was it reminded me that we've all heard God doesn't shout, he whispers. When I got to that stoplight, everything in me said, go left. And, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm looking at Paul, and I'm thinking about in Acts 16, how Paul comes to Derbe, and he gets with Timothy, and they make a plan. They're going to go evangelize, basically. They're going to spread the word of the gospel. And says in verse 6, they pass through Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And I'm not saying that the Lord came down till said, turn right. What I will tell you is that all logic said, go left, because I'm needing this thing fixed. But it just was turn right, and I didn't question it. I just thought, okay, and I see a business that doesn't even look open, and here sits this kid who's trying to make a change in his life, wanting to pursue the Lord. And it really did. It brought me back to something that we've been really learning in our household for the last few years. In Psalm 74, verse 25, it says, whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all of your works. And what I can testify to is that when you wake up every morning and desire to make God your good, desire to just please him, you're not going to do it all the time. We're all going to fail. But if that's your desire, and when he speaks, if you listen and if you respond immediately, he will show you things that you would have walked right by. He'll give you opportunities that you never would have known that you're going to have. And so it's just the encouragement of saying, you know, Lord, you are a good and gracious God. And Lord, you love us. You love all your kids. And you see the kids who need encouragement, and you'll take some of your kids and send them to those who need the encouragement. And they may be out in the desert, and you may not know, or they may be sitting in a mom and pop, you know, auto mechanic store someplace, or that, who knows? But when the Lord says, do this, when you feel that inkling, just do it. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the fact that you know everything about us. You know what we need when we need it. And Lord, you care about us. And it's just, it's so humbling to know that the God who spoke the universe into existence, who spoke everything we know into existence, and who is sovereign over every particle in that universe, would choose to love us and would choose to care enough about us to either send somebody to us in our time of need, or send us to somebody in their time of need. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.